2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in.
Welcome back to Walk It Off. We have taken what some may say are a few weeks off between the madness of the World Series. We're finally back in action. We know that other things are happening in the sports world, but we're going to focus this podcast on baseball because there's been a lot of things that have happened over the past 4 weeks, and they deserve all of our attention. A full scrub down. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. Let's just start the podcast off with thoughts on Game 7. We're going to break down everything else in a second, but let's just get Game 7 thoughts out of the way, Gemma.
Of every game in the series, I think that it was probably the least intense. Which is saying something because it was a very exciting series.
Because it was Game 7.
Yeah, and Game 7 last year's Game 7 was maybe the best Game 7 of all time, so right. It's really hard to compete with that. But this didn't really compete with it. Like, the lead was established early, it never changed, which was surprising because lead changed a lot in a lot of the other games.
Right.
And there were moments that were described by some at Cuff4 as a beautiful tragedy, aka Clayton Kershaw coming in to pitch in relief and being really good, but it really not mattering in the long run at all.
Nope.
We talked a lot about the error in the first inning, the Dodgers' error in the first inning, and whether or not it was crucial. We were talking about it during the second inning, and we're like, oh, it's not crucial. The Dodgers still have so much time. But it turned out that that was when the Astros essentially won the game.
Right.
So I loved this series, and it was a lot of fun, but when you think of Game 7, you usually don't think of what was pretty much an early win for the Astros, the way it was.
Ashley, what'd you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, we had friends over for Game 7, and we didn't have any friends over for any of the other games, and, you know, I found myself, like, in conversation and then glancing over at the game in, like, the fourth and the fifth, and also asking, is it the second or the eighth right now? I have no idea. and not because how long everything is going, it's the best win. I mean, that in the best way it's been. The games have been a little bit longer, and they have been very intense and amazing. But if we had friends over, on game two and four through six, I would have been like, everyone shut your mouth right now. You're leaving because if you're chatting, you're not watching. And how are you not watching? This is the best game I've ever seen in my life. And so the whole series was so, so great. Game, like Gemma said, Game 7 last year was one of the best games I've ever seen in my entire life. On top of that being a Game 7, so maybe it was the best game I've ever seen in my entire life. It's difficult to compare it to, but it still is a Game 7, so it's still exciting. It's just that, it was quiet because, again, like Gemma said, the game was lost in the first. Even though, I mean, they were at home, Dodgers were at home, and, you know, like, anything can happen when you're at home in this series and the entire postseason, as we've seen. So we never gave up. Like, we never thought the game was over, but it turns out it was.
You guys seem so calm, cool, and collected. To be honest, I felt like no lead was safe. In the first inning, I was like, I texted someone and I said, they got to put up a 10 spot right now because if they don't, they're not going to win this game. I felt like they needed as many runs as they could off of Yu Darvish right away, or else they were going to be in a lot of trouble. And if we learned anything from the first six games, it was that you can't predict anything that's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Because once you think something is going to happen, the complete opposite happens. So the whole game, I was on pins and needles. I also felt, for some reason, just very strong ties to the Astros after the Indians went out. And then I was like, okay. And Gemma, we know you picked the Astros from the start.
Well, you know, it got a little complicated for me.
Yeah.
Later into this, series. Because, you know, I liked... At a certain point, I was like, I guess I like almost all of the Astros, you know?
Sure, of
and
course.
I was legitimately rooting for Yu Darvish to have a good start because I wanted to see that from him. I thought it was something that would have been good for him personally. Of course, if the Astros had won Game 6, I would have been all in on Justin Verlander personally wins the World Series.
Yeah.
But that did not happen. So in 7, I was like, whichever team wins, I'm going to be into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but like you said, I think you're right is that we saw a lot of lead changes, but the Dodgers left so many men on base at a certain time that it kind of was like, I guess this is just what's happening now. Yeah.
I thought that Game 6 was a little boring.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I felt that way. I knew the Dodgers were going to win. I knew they were going to come home and win. There was no way that they were going to come home and not win that game to 4-7. Of course, the only factor is Verlander, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if anyone's going to win it right then and there, it's going to be that guy. But I just felt like the Dodgers were going to force it. Their bats are good. They are a good team. Like, I saw this quote, and it basically said, whoever wins game seven wins game seven. That's what happens. Like, yes, they're the World Series champions, but they won game seven.
That's a good quote.
It was so good. Yeah. I was like, that's actually, I never thought about it that way, but that's how I felt the whole time. I just couldn't verbalize how I felt.
I totally agree with you, because these were the two best teams. They were the two best teams.
100%.
And as we all know, playing in these series like this is, to some degree, because it's such a short series, it has an element of randomness to it. Like, it just does.
Yeah.
If there were only two teams in Major League Baseball and the Astros and the Dodgers played 162 games against each other, that would be maybe a little less random. But
yeah,
I really like that, Danny. That's really great. I would like to say that on this very podcast at the beginning of the season, I did say the Astros would win the World Series.
You did. So caps off, Gemma, if you'd like, would you like 15 seconds to gloat?
No, I mean, you can't be that impressed, because Ben Ryder predicted it 3 years ago, which is way cooler than me.
That's right.
Junior, it's fine. Yeah.
I do want to say, though, I did do that before Justin Verlander played for the team.
You did,
so
well before. Well,
yes,
before. Mm-hmm. We'll roll back those tapes. We'll have to find that. All right, so you know the series is over, the season is over, but you know this isn't the off season; it's our other season, is what we call it here. So as of Thursday, 9 a.m. it's free agent season. All eligible players become free agents November 4th. Contract options are due November 6th. Deadline to make eligible free agents qualifying offers. That's $17.4 million for those of you out there wondering. And November 7th, free agency begins. So today is November 3rd, right?
Yes, crazy. It is.
So those things are 1, 3, and 4 days away. So there's not really an off season. We're heading right back into it. But let's start things off with some Trender Trash. It's been a while. I don't need to remind you guys what this is, but this will be fun. Trender Trash, is George Springer the MVP of the World Series? Ashley.
It's actually, and sorry to correct you, it's the Willie Mays World Series MVP now.
My bad.
So, yeah, I mean, was he my World Series MVP? I would pick Bregman for that, but, I mean, he was still such a catalyst. Yeah, Bregman was so solid. I felt confident every time he was at the plate, anytime anything was hit to third, anytime anything was hit to short in a certain way. I just felt like he was on it and he got it, and he was just pumping people up left and right. But so was Springer, and Springer is more of a, you know, he's been there for a while. I feel like he's more of a team leader than Bregman is. I mean, I could be wrong. It just came off that way. But I felt like once he started going, everything started going and really got the wheels turning for them. So I think so. I feel like he was the MVP. I mean, sure, he had that major flub in center, but then he made up for it immediately with a home run to make up for that run. And then after that, he was just playing really smart. You could see how he changed. Like, he started judging the ball. Like, I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad center fielder at all, but he went from the excitement of the World Series and going to make this hit, like, heroic play that backfired, to being really smart and not being careful necessarily, but being smart about things. You watched him change in the game. I don't know. I feel like he was, but I would have picked Bregman if I had the opportunity to choose.
And thank you for correcting me. It is now the Willie Mays World Series MVP Award. This is the first of its kind for many, many, many years to come. All right, Gemma, Trend or Trash, is George Springer the MVP, the Willie Mays MVP of the World Series?
Yeah, I'll trend it. I would say for the World Series. I'd say if there was like a postseason-wide World Series award, it might be a little bit different. There might be, we could talk about Bregman versus Altuve versus Springer, but I think that for the World Series, I totally agree that George Springer definitely was the most valuable player for that specific seven-game series. He was really exciting to watch, and it was really fun to see this guy who we've watched change so much over the past 3 years and change. It's great. It's really great. I'm all in on George Springer getting super famous and just being an incredible ball player.
Well, it speaks volumes that you're like, it could be Altuve or Bregman or Correa. Yeah. There's a whole cast of characters of those guys, and I think that's why they had so much success, is because every single person stepped up. Brian McCann stepped up. I mean, Josh Reddick, I don't know where you were this whole World Series, man, except for wearing a Speedo, but everybody else seemed to step up. I'm trending this definitely. There are three reasons why. So let's, game two, the go-ahead home run in the top of the 11th to tie the series, sending it back to Houston. Game five, Ashley, like you mentioned, he dives and misses that Cody Bellinger line drive. Next inning, he hits a home run. That's the 5.5 hour game, basically 5.5, 13-12 Ooh. In 11 innings. And then obviously game seven, hits his fifth home run of the World Series. He started the game with a leadoff double. So for me, it's a no doubter. The funny thing is, and we can talk about this for a second, is how everyone was calling for A.J. Hinch to move him down in the lineup after game one. He was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And people were off with his head, you know?
Yeah.
And A.J. Hinch is like, no, I know this guy. He's going to be fine. And look, he was fine. He has new records set for the World Series. I couldn't pick a better MVP for the World Series. Bregman, yes, of course, that guy came up huge too, but for me, George Springer all the way.
No,
could you guys
right.
even
yeah,
imagine a world where A.J. Hinch would move Springer down after one bad performance?
I mean, yeah, he was swinging out of his shoes, but Clayton Kershaw was pitching, and Clayton Kershaw was Clayton Kershaw. Like,
right.
that's going to happen. It's crazy to say, yes, I'm so happy that the fans are not allowed to make any decisions whatsoever.
All right, trend or trash? You can't win a World Series without a strong bullpen, Gemma.
I'm going to trash that because I think the Dodgers had a great bullpen. Everyone knew coming in that the Dodgers bullpen was basically
top-notch.
Impregnable, this just serious, strong bullpen. And the Astros had Ken Giles. Like, but the Astros got around it because they just used starters. You know what? We may not have a ton of relievers. That's fine. We have Charlie Morton who can just do whatever, I guess. And like Brad Peacock, who, yeah, sure, turned out to be surprisingly like really good.
Yes.
But I don't think it's essential. I think that what we ended up seeing in this specific World Series is bullpens getting really tired out because of over-reliance on
right.
them. And I know a lot of people contend it, like had a lot of issues with the way that Dave Roberts used Rich Hill in the series and how many pitches he was allowed
or
to throw or didn't use him. Right.
Right.
And did that affect their chances? Because Kenley Jansen was really good in the regular season. But if you only looked at his stats from the postseason, you'd be like, that guy's an all-star reliever. And it's not necessarily
compared to Mariano Rivera.
It's not even because he is great and he is an all-star and he's an incredible reliever, but it also like Brandon Morrow pitching in every single game. While that is a cool feat, we saw him come in one game and we were like, that dude is just gas,
he
you
nothing.
Know?
Yeah. His arm's yeah. falling off.
So it yeah. seems like it doesn't really matter how strong your bullpen is if you just wear them out every day. If you have so many pitchers, like 6-7 pitchers in one game, I understand logically how you think, okay, we don't want our starter to go through the order a third time because usually the third time you see a pitcher, you're much more likely to hit him. So
right.
I get it logically, but at the same time, when you're playing so many games over such a short span of time and your bullpen gets tired, that's also an extreme disadvantage.
I think you should be taking.
And that's obviously, to me, I feel like part of that is what happened. The Astros won without a strong bullpen, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Ashley, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big defense wins championships kind of person, and I say the same for bullpens, and that was true for a handful of years now, most of this decade. But yeah, this World Series proved me wrong that it's not about just the bullpen and the talent in the bullpen. I think there's so many more factors to it. It's managing, it's understanding, it's listening, it's gut feeling. You know, so I do think, yes, that does help you win a championship if you can manage it correctly, like Hinch did, or get lucky, which maybe Hinch did as well. And I mean, Dave Roberts was getting lucky for such a long time with his setup, and Joe Maddon, for example, was the most unlucky with his bullpen situations and his decisions. So I think it's more of managing the bullpen that will help you win championship. But again, so many factors, and this season just threw that idea for a loop.
Okay, so I want to go back really quickly. The Royals, when they won their World Series, how they used their bullpen, and people started talking about, okay, actually, this is a really effective way to use mm-hmm. your bullpen in the World Series. And then we saw guys like Andrew Miller last season coming in and whatever inning his team needed during the postseason to make up for it. And it worked to an extent. Obviously, they went all the way to game seven, and he mm-hmm. wasn't the reason they lost. And then we saw this year the Dodgers had one of the strongest bullpens. The Yankees had one of the strongest bullpens, and it mm-hmm. didn't matter. The strength factor didn't matter there because at a certain point, it doesn't matter if you have a strong bullpen if they can't go or you tire them out. So I totally agree, trash. You don't need a strong bullpen. You need one, mentally strong starting pitchers. Like, the mental game is equally as important, if not more important, than the physical part. And two, you need guys who are selfless and willing to come in, like Charlie Morton, and finish off World Series Game 7 pitching four innings and doing whatever his team needed, because that's not what that guy normally does. And he did it, and that's a weird place for him to be in. He's not normally doing that. Ken Giles, don't know where you went this postseason, man. Feel bad for you, because you are the reason. You helped this team get to this point.
Yeah.
And something was not clicking, and that sucks. That I cannot imagine how tough that was for him to be in that position. But his team picked him up and came in. So, no, for me, the bullpens, they're not irrelevant. But if Kenley Jansen can't do what he's supposed to do, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Danny, you're right, but also it's like everything has to just be in balance, right? Like,
yeah.
Should have a strong bullpen, because sometimes, like we saw, there's I can't remember exactly which game this was, probably the 5.5 hour game, but the Dodgers bullpen was good.
Yes.
They were good, but it
each
didn't matter,
yes.
Because even if you can hold the other team scoreless forever and ever, eventually something's going to break. You're going to run out of guys in the bullpen.
Right.
Like, the amount of times you saw Liriano was surprising to me, because sometimes
Liriano was on that team.
Yeah. Surprise. But yes. Also,
oh
sometimes,
God,
and like,
truly.
One of the most stunning moments to me in the game was when Brandon McCarthy came in to pitch. And like,
yes.
I like Brandon McCarthy,
yes.
But it seems like that is, and I'm also like pretty high on Brandon McCarthy as a pitcher. Like, maybe he's not like a certain caliber of pitcher, but I wouldn't worry normally, but he had been not pitching for so long that to come in after your rehab for the very first time in the World Series,
yeah.
Like that decision, you only make that when you're desperate.
Yeah, and I don't feel like he's a strong enough player mentally to do something like that.
Even if he is, it's like, you haven't played in a real game situation for a really long time, and when you get stuck in that place as a manager, it's like your bullpen can be really, really good, but also if you can't get a lead, then it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. So we'll have to see what happens next year. I'm really interested. I'm interested to see. We talked about this last year. I remember having this conversation. Will teams change their approach during the regular season on what they're doing? Will the evolution of a pitcher change? Because we're not expecting starters to go as long anymore, right? So will that change even more? Will we train guys to go four and then the next guy go three? You know, you have like a split starting system.
McCullers Morton, one starter, two guys.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the tides are changing, or maybe not. Maybe.
I mean, I think postseason baseball is totally different, but.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. All right. Last one. Trend or trash? Clayton Kershaw's 2017 postseason performance could affect his legacy. Gemma.
I mean, I'll trend it because it's a conversation people are having, but it makes me really sad. Did you see that quote he said? Maybe someday I won't fail.
Maybe one of these days I won't fail.
Ugh. Oh, God. That's making me so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think people will consider it as something that affects his legacy, because what we saw with the Astros is we saw a lot of guys who have been trying forever to win a World Series and finally did.
Carlos Beltran,
Justin Verlander.
Evan Gattis.
Frankie Liriano.
Yeah.
So I understand where he's coming from, and I do think that for Justin Verlander and Carlos Beltran, like, people definitely were saying, oh, but, you know, that guy,
he
might be great, but he never won a World Series, and that is unfortunately something that gets thrown in there and will affect Kershaw's legacy. But I hope, even though it's not great when it's the other team against you, seeing these guys who had waited so long, maybe he has hope that one day he will also.
20 years later.
Oh, this rough. It's
so
rough.
ERA,
I'm so sorry, Kersh.
He hit 4.02, basically four ERA of four, nine hits, seven earned runs, two home runs. Ashley, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to trend this too. Solely because we should keep talking about this so we don't forget. But also, it's important to erase the whole Kershaw sucks in the playoffs now, because this postseason, I thought he was phenomenal. So I thought, I mean, obviously he was phenomenal. He truly was. But I thought immediately we could throw away this whole theory on how the second he dipped the toe of the postseason, he's garbage, because he was so on fire this year. He was so good in the World Series. I hate the fact that he felt like he failed, because he did not. He absolutely did not. It was just the way these things go. There's two young teams. Sure, he's a veteran team. He's been around for a long time. But these are two young teams that loved each other so much. And it was they were so equal that anything could have happened. And this is certainly not the last time, unfortunately for me, that the Dodgers are going to be in the World Series. I truly believe that. So there's so much more time left. I don't know. I hate that he feels this way, but this is showing a good sign. This should be a good sign for Dodgers fans and for Kershaw himself. So I don't know. It does break my heart, too. I hated reading that. I was like, no. Also, just go to another team, please. Do me a favor. I want to root for you so badly.
I don't want him to be the Craig Biggio's, you know, of baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
Yeah, but he's the best pitcher of this generation. I don't think that he's going to ever go down as, like, yeah, he was good, he was great, but he never won a World Series. I mean, I can't see anyone thinking that. Because you think of the best pitcher when you were a kid or when you were a young adult or whatever this generation is for you, you're going to say Clayton Kershaw. A ring is almost irrelevant. I mean, I don't want to say that because obviously the championship is everything, and especially to these players, but I'm never, ever going to think that he's lesser because he wasn't able to get a ring.
I completely agree.
Because it's so hard, too, and there's so many other factors. Like, it's a team sport. Things are crazy.
Definitely.
And unfair, and so I feel bad for it, but...
It's tough because this team was so stacked and so loaded, and mm-hmm. it was hard to imagine them not going all the way. I don't care about 104 wins. We talked about that.
Yeah, who cares?
Everyone would trade a 100-win season for a championship. No one cares about that, and I don't think that gassed them, but it's tough to see such a good team fall short like this mm-hmm. and watch them kind of fall apart and scrape and claw trying to get their way back. I think Clayton Kershaw is one of the best, if not the best. He's proven that. He doesn't need a ring. But I think that people will could potentially talk more about the fact that he doesn't have a ring than what he did for the game.
It will always come up if he doesn't get one.
Yes.
It just always will.
Yes.
Even if everything that you say before it is extremely complimentary, like, it'll be, oh, but he doesn't have
it's
a ring.
It's the asterisk.
Yeah, because it's boring. People want the controversy and the drama and the issues. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, of course, it will always come up.
I'm going to say something.
And that sucks. That sucks. But also, the preface is he's the best pitcher in baseball and the best pitcher that we've ever seen. So,
definitely.
I don't know. I know individual victories like that don't really matter to him. I'm sure they matter, but not as much as a ring. But to me, I'm like, buddy, you did it, though. You're really, really good. Please don't go bad.
Okay, I'm going to say something crazy. I wonder if, like the Justin Verlander moment, if he left the Dodgers and joined another team. He's been with them since the start of his career. Maybe he needs a move. Maybe that would help. Not now, but I just wonder if that would be a catalyst for a change. I don't think it's going to happen. I could see him playing with the Dodgers the rest of his career. And I think eventually they'll get back and they will win. But I just wonder. I wonder because I feel like that has been a theme that happens when guys leave teams. You couldn't imagine them ever leaving. No one could ever imagine Justin Verlander leaving, right? And then he did, and look what happened.
Well, I also think it's different because the Dodgers are good and they're going to stay good. Like, they have young guys.
Yeah,
but they also have, like, young guys who came up with them who are, like, Cody Bellinger is going to have a ton more chances, you know, to win a ring. So is Corey Seager.
Yes.
The Tigers had a window. They did not have a farm system. Still don't. And it's like once that closed, you couldn't really see them scrapping for even a division title out of that again. Whereas the Dodgers are going to keep coming back because they're so deep.
Right.
They're so deep.
And
so,
if you look at their division, let's not forget who's in their division too and the records they've had the past couple of years and historically as well. Okay, let's talk about a couple breakout stars of the World Series. Chris Taylor, Alex Bregman, Jock Peterson, and Brad Peacock. Let's talk about Chris Taylor and Alex Bregman.
Danny's so low on Jock.
I'm not low on Jock.
I'm so low too. I'm at the bottom.
I think Chris Taylor and Alex Bregman stood out way more.
Agreed.
Throughout the entire series. Just kind of, you know, what do you think about them, Ash?
I mean, I've watched Chris Taylor all year, and I've watched Alex Bregman all postseason. Both of them are absolute superstars. I love watching both of them play. They're both just, like, so hungry for everything, this game. And I don't know. They have so much energy that it seems infectious, and I can understand how they're not only just doing good on the field but in the dugout and just pumping people up. You know, but they're wonderful, and they're so much fun to watch. So love both of them. Was happy to see both of them do well on the big stage too, which – I mean, that doesn't mean anything necessarily, but it makes me seem like this is, like, for real, you know, and they're going to continue this from season going forward. But, yeah, so I really liked watching them, and I think they're fantastic. Jock? No.
I'm really happy that everybody knows who both of these people are now, because Chris Taylor, I just can't imagine that, like, 2 years ago, you're like, oh, this random Mariners guy is going to be it's going to have a CS MVP trophy. It's going to be great. I think it's funny because that you picked these two players because I think they express their love for the game in such different ways.
Definitely.
Like, Bregman is screaming constantly, always screaming, always,
his
every
mouth
second.
Is always open.
Yes. And Chris Taylor, I'm sure, is experiencing emotions deep inside.
Yeah. Listen, all you need to know about Chris Taylor is the conversation he had with his third base coach and when he could have scored.
Oh, my God.
Right, the no and go thing. And Chris Taylor, so in the most monotone voice ever, was, I thought you said no. Oh, you said go? I thought you said no.
That was the coolest thing Fox has ever done ever in the history of the world. I was like, oh, my God, I love this insight so much. Give me so much more. It was incredible. And, whoa, so sad, right?
They didn't do it enough, though. They had, like, 50 mics. They had the whole field mic'd up.
You know what I'm imagining is that they just picked up a ton of expletives.
Sure, I'm sure. But, like, why didn't we get to hear, was it George Springer who said he wanted a sandwich at first base with Cody Bellinger? Why didn't we get to hear that? Come on, unless he wanted an effing sandwich, which I doubt that's what it was.
George Springer seems like he's too sweet of a young man to say that.
I feel really proud that Alex Bregman and Chris Taylor had a chance to shine on the biggest baseball stage that there is and show people that they're not just good in Houston and not just good in their division. They're good. They're the world champions. You know, they made it so far. And Chris Taylor, whatever, didn't win the World Series, but the guy proved himself. Both clutch hitters came up so big in so many different situations. Game-tying home runs, go-ahead home runs. Yeah. Alex Bregman at the hot corner. No,
incredible.
I talk about Nolan Arenado all the time, but Alex Bregman might be a name that I think will come up a lot more next season. Brad Peacock.
He's outstanding.
Yeah, Brad Peacock. Listen, he pitched the most innings in relief for the Astros. 7 earned runs, 2 home runs, just 4 walks. Guy was a rock star. Came in wherever he was needed. Big fan of him. Very humble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great really guy. Out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's great. All right, let's move on to fill in the blank. If you would have told me in 2014 that the SI cover would predict the World Series champs in 2017, I would have told you blank, Gemma.
That's silly. Don't you know about the curse? And I would have been wrong.
Ashley?
I would have said, okay, so I'm not like, tooting my own horn or anything like that. I made zero predictions, and this is not what I'm saying, but I think I would have said, oh, yeah, I could see that, because I remember in 2012 when they were, like, seriously building, and I was like, you know what? One of these days, this terrible team is going to be really good soon, because it seems like they're getting a lot of – they're paying attention, and they're doing a good job. I would have said, yeah, I could see that. I would never have said, I think the Astros are going to win in 2017. Even in 2017, in the beginning of the season, I did not say that. So – I would just be like, oh, yeah, that would be fun. That's my response to that.
I like that. I picked Stranger Things Have Happened. Baseball's weird, so it was
Baseball is weird.
Bold, bold move. Pressure-filled, jinx-filled move. But Stranger Things Have Happened. All right, when Carlos Correa proposed to his girlfriend after the World Series victory, I thought blank, Gemma.
Ballpark proposals are still not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hot take.
It's not that hot of a take.
Hot take.
I'm happy for them, and
you're in the minority of that.
I'm very happy for them. I'm glad that works so well. But it's also like, would you go to somebody else's birthday party and propose? No. Let everyone else have their time too.
Yes.
But also now I do hope that everyone thinks, should I propose to my significant other at this ballpark? No, because I didn't just win a World Series, so I couldn't really do better. And what's even the point?
So he may have prevented future
proposals.
Knock
on wood, everybody.
So we could be thankful for that. Ash, what do you got for that?
I wish that could be true. So I think the first thing I thought, and that we all agreed, me and the pals, as we were discussing this, is like, why combine two special things in one day? why not have two things to celebrate, two separate days? You know what I mean? So I thought that was a little silly that he just used it all up on that day. Maybe he has a hard time remembering things, so this will be a lot easier for him. No, I don't know. I mean, it was cute seeing them so happy. Like, she was legitimately shocked, so that's fun. I thought she was going to have a heart attack. But, yeah, I don't know. It's still a ballpark proposal. And then also, like, just thinking about all the cameras in their faces and stuff, and everyone kind of awkwardly standing there. I don't know. It's, yeah.
I'm with you. All right, I said...
Go with your proposal.
I said, when Carlos Correa proposed to his girlfriend after a World Series victory, I thought, how did you have the brain power after winning the World Series to ask the most important question of your life?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I think about having a hard day at work and how I feel, or waking up the next day after a really hard day, kind of feeling hungover, just a work hangover. Yeah. How in the world did you have anything left in your body to do something like that? And I wish that he would have waited and let everybody just enjoy that moment together as a team. And I didn't feel like it was outshined, but I do feel like people kind of forgot that they won the World Series for a second. And they were like, but Carlos Correa proposed to his girlfriend on national television. All right, last one. Blank is the front runner to win the 2018 World Series. Put on your Ben Ryder SI thinking cap for a quick moment. We're not going to hold you to it. We're going to make new predictions when the season actually starts. But today, who do you got today, Ashley?
Oh, this one was hard. I started thinking and then I stopped. Because I don't want to think that maybe the Yankees do it or something like that. You know what I mean? But now that – actually, no, I take that back. Now that Girardi's gone, I keep forgetting that Girardi is gone, which is the silliest thing. And we'll talk about that next week, I'm sure, with all these dumb moves. But, yeah. Oh, God. I'm going to say just because I don't want to say like anything like the Dodgers or the Yankees. I'm going to say the Giants. Giants are going to win next year.
Ash, are you serious right now?
There's no one holding me to this, right?
You should not be allowed to change your prediction for next year.
I don't know what to say
after
that.
I totally forgot about Girardi. So if Girardi was still there and he had a little bit more time with this young team, I would have thought the Yankees.
All right, I'm going with the Yankees. I think they are the front runner. I think that they were just one game away from the World Series. And if Aaron Judge can continue to do what he did.
Strike out less.
And I think that he will. I think he's going to be better than ever. I think his home runs are going to go down, but I think his on-base percentage is going to go up next year. That's my prediction. I just feel like they have all the nuts and bolts. And they don't have a manager, but I think that whoever comes in will be able to continue. They have the team. They just need a good person and a good fit. Gemma, who you got?
The Dodgers.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Dodgers. They're going to be really good still.
They're going to do what the Royals and the Cubs did.
Yeah. Cool. I think that they're going to be contenders for another couple years. I think that the Yankees need some time before they're back, confidence. Yeah. I on the cut forecast, I predicted the 2020 World Series. We all did because we're insane.
Nice.
But I have them in the 2020 World Series. They lose, but they're in it.
Oh, okay. But they lose. Sorry. All right. A couple things, house cleaning items that we have here. All right. Home run. For hurricane relief, T-Mobile, Team Rubicon. I love Team Rubicon more than life itself. Two Marines started the organization to help veterans give back to their communities and just stay a part of what's going on when you come back from serving. It's often very hard to assimilate back in, and they give these veterans a space to do that, and I love them very much. I got to help in Moore, Oklahoma after tornadoes came through, and help them kind of rebuild a little bit and more. So very cool. They raised more than $2.5 million. That's 104 home runs, 650,000 tweets, and they're still raising money, so you can still donate and help Team Rubicon. Love them. Let's also shout out to Evan Gaddis, who was a janitor 10 years ago, and now he's a World Series champ. So dreams do come true, folks. Dreams do come true. And then we're obviously going to talk about all the other things that are happening in sports. Let's just quickly tell you that 1 month into hockey, the Devils don't suck.
What?
And also, the new kids on the block, the Vegas Golden Knights, are doing really well, which is really exciting. And mm-hmm. I think no one still knows who any of those guys are, but it doesn't matter because they're playing like they're, you know, easy breezy beautiful. Also, the Celtics are leading the East without Gordon Hayward, which is a really sad thing that happened. And also, Texans are without Deshaun Watson. J.J. Watt is gone. So it's been a wild moments in the NFL as well. There's so much going on over there. that we'll get to next week. Guys, any parting thoughts that you may or may not have? Gemma?
Very sad that baseball season is over, but
146 days until opening day.
I mean, now we have time to watch other sports, so be great.
Yeah.
Ashley?
Yeah, get your paper chains ready. I'm excited for basketball, especially because it seems like the two teams that are, I mean, obviously it's the Warriors and the Cavs, but these two teams that are supposed to just be dominating are not. And so the games are fun to watch now.
Yeah.
And as a Warriors fan, watching the Warriors just demo through every single team is frankly very boring. So now every game is has a little bit more excitement. So I'm excited for basketball.
Oh, shout out to Tottenham Hotspur for beating Real Madrid 3-1 in Champions League. Okay.
Whoa. There we go. There we go. Just get that in, Jen.
Soccer.
I am personally thankful that we are all back together talking sports and Yay. All the great things. Missed you guys. It's been a long month without our podcast. That's our producer, Rena, who dropped her phone. Rena, shout out to you for helping put this together as always. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Sorry we were gone. You know, whoever may be listening to this, we'll be back next week. We'll catch you then.
Now the 2-2. Well hit.